talk about the quarterback situation, the head coach situation. Boy, just feels like they gotta figure this out at some point. Still feels like the Broncos are in limbo, waiting for this ownership thing to figure itself out. You know, Denver Post reported that John Elway's looking for another billionaire to join the group so they could get this deal done. Kisla put out the article, John Elway scrambling to find a billionaire so that he can be part of the new Broncos ownership. I don't know, guys. I've gone back and forth on this. I know last week we did the poll questions as far as which group would you like, the Manning and Elway thing. I don't know. It seems like there's a lot of negative surrounding him. So maybe the right move is to go with Manning because there's really no negative surrounding him at all. Who do I think would be better? I'm just going off of experience. It seems like Elway has the experience, but does that matter in this role? Probably not. I'm probably pulling a Michael back there and doing a fanboy routine. And I'm just saying, hey, I want Elway there because I grew up watching Elway. But Manning's a mover and shaker, man, and he's extremely popular. You know, you watch the Monday Night Football stuff that he's putting on, that he's putting out there. It's hilarious. He cussed on TV last night. He said the SH word. Nobody cares because it's Peyton Manning. It was actually hilarious. Like, I got to admit, I don't really like the show is great. The show mixed with football, to me, I get distracted easily. So I like to watch the pure broadcasters broadcast the game, and then I just watch the game. But the stuff that they do is hilarious. The Mannings interviewing all these guys, celebrity. The Rock was on, Russell Wilson was on. Like, that's great. It's gold. Will they keep doing that kind of stuff if Peyton is a part of an ownership group for the Broncos? I guess I don't see why not. It's not like he's having to do TPS reports or anything like that. He's just going to be part of the ownership group, maybe thinking big picture stuff for Denver. So doesn't matter to me because we won't know what this ownership group's going to do. In 5 to 10 years, we'll start knowing more. But that's the thing. It still just feels like we're stuck in this limbo situation. And, you know, the head coach, the quarterback, all of that's going to happen. But if you do get some guy that's an ownership that's a Jerry Jones type guy, you just wonder how long is this all going to last? First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. Give us your thoughts on, you know, the poll question today, the Method Flow products poll question today. Would you like to see Jimmy Garoppolo? Smitty says it's an improvement over anything they had in 2021. So is that what we're going for, though? Is that where the Broncos are now? It's just, hey, let's just get a little bit better than last year. Let's make things just a little bit easier. And I got to tell you, I don't get too excited about that. I feel like you got to go for the grand slam, for the home run, swing for the fences, or you probably just need to bunt. And Drew Locke would be the bunt. I know it's not popular, and I know most, I think I'm in the way minority on this one. But the options at quarterback are certainly thin, especially when Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson's name is out of that mix. Michael, I didn't get to this, but I want to get to it in more detail here. Our big story of the day, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. Mike Mayock has been fired, as we talked about in the first hour a little bit, but fired as the general manager of the Las Vegas Raiders after three tumultuous seasons, according to ESPN. They went 25-24 Now, the record's not tumultuous. It's everything else that happened. Mainly the Gruden stuff, and then you add the Ruggs stuff in. The Raiders said this in a statement. We have relieved Mike Mayock of his duties as general manager of the Las Vegas Raiders. We thank Mike for his contributions over the last 3 years and helping to form the foundation for the franchise to build upon its future. I'm shocked by this one. 2 days after the Raiders lose to the Bengals, they move on from Mike Mayock. Boy, I mean, you bring Mayock in, you bring Gruden in, it's like this football kind of dream team, at least from the media's perspective. But now you look at what happened here. ESPN reporter said that overall, the decision-making process was Gruden, who held a 51-49 percentage advantage in the power structure between the two. Obviously, that shifted when Gruden was gone. Mayock took over most of that. Bisaccia, I don't know that had any of that real decision-making power. Then it was reported earlier this season that Mayock had to, you know, really try to navigate through this and had a negative kind of relationship with certain players. I was shocked by this because everything that Mayock had to go through. The Henry Ruggs thing was awful. Awful. And so Mayock's trying to navigate through that. The Gruden thing was colossal. It was a gigantic story. And I don't think we've seen the end of it, to be real honest with you guys. I was a little bit shocked by this. There was big moves made by Mayock, big time moves, big trades for players. They had the team that goes to the playoffs. They're a blown whistle away from at least maybe being closer, right? Talked about that yesterday. Is this a surprising move to anybody? Yeah, the Antonio Brown stuff, right? That was bad, but Antonio Brown has had a bad relationship with everybody. He threw Tom Brady under the bus. So a little bit of a shocker there. That's the big story of the day presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. Eastside Chris, I feel for John Elway. I've had to ask friends for a small loan. Can't imagine what it's like to ask your buddy if he or she could spare $1 billion. Aren't we ready? Aren't we ready for this ownership thing to be dealt with and taken care of so we can just move on? Broncos have been in limbo for so very long. And I feel like some of the moves that were made 3 years ago were made knowing you were going to be in limbo. I do feel like Vic Fangio marked the end of John Elway's career as the GM VP kind of guy. It's a terrible hire. That was his worst move yet. You can argue about Paxton Lynch all day long, Shaq Barrett, Bradley Chubb over Josh Allen. Hiring Vic Fangio, a never-before head coach at the age of 60. And again, age doesn't necessarily have to do anything with it. It's just the fact that he had never been a head coach all those years in the league. It was a terrible move. That was his worst move. And that also felt like a move, just let's get a guy in here that's kind of just, you know, he's rolling with the punches. He doesn't know any better. We're not going to get a young and up-and-comer that's going to grow through the system because who knows what's going to happen to him when a new ownership comes in. We're not going to get this, you know, this. There wasn't a lot of wily veterans out there that were wanting to come back. I know everybody likes to throw out the Brian Billicks and all those names, the guys that haven't been in the league in 10 years. We like to throw out Cowher all the time. It's not going to, they haven't been in the league, guys. I mean, the Gruden thing was a reach. And it was kind of working out, but it is what it is. So this whole limbo thing, yeah, I do feel like there were moves that were made that were just kind of with that in the back of everybody's mind. So I will be ready to see this team make moves for their real future. The real future of the Denver Broncos. 15 minutes after the hour. When we come back, let's talk some Colorado State hoops with our guy Mike Brohard from CSURams.com and RamWire. We'll take a short break. When we do come back, we got that. We got also Zach Stevens coming on from DNVR Broncos, our Broncos insider. We believe, anyway. He is a busy man. He's trying to stay up to speed on all these coaching interviews. So we'll see if we can catch him later on in the program. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join the legendary broadcaster Jerry Schemmel this season for UNC basketball coverage on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 19 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now, Mike Brohard of CSURams.com and RamWire Insider. Mike, my friend, well, the Colorado State men's side of things for basketball, at least. Hey, on the coaches' poll, they crack that top 25 again. Still waiting to see them get back into the AP top 25, though.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, give it some time. They got a nice stretch of games coming up where, you know, they're going to get into a rhythm of playing every 3 days against teams that they can beat, but obviously favored in the Mountain West. So give it a couple weeks, and hopefully we'll be back in everything.
Well, first step, of course, well, we discussed it, you know, take care of Utah State, close game. They beat San Jose State, and that kind of cool reunion with Tim Miles would have been even cooler if it was the opposite, if San Jose State was playing at Moby Arena. But that will take 78-42. We'll take that win. The Rams just blow the Spartans out of the water. And as you said, you look at the schedule coming up. New Mexico tomorrow night. Should get that W. The at Air Force. Now, at Air Force, Air Force is an interesting team, Mike. Still pretty darn good on their own home floor, though.
Yeah, Air Force, they were good on the Moby Arena floor, too, if you remember that.
Yeah.
It was the first game when CSU came back from the break. You run into that matchup zone, defense and offense. There's a lot, you know, of discipline that's required to play a team like that. And in a couple weeks, you know, in another week, really, they're going to play them again. So it'll be interesting to see. There's a lot of things going on for CSU at Air Force on Saturday. There's swimming down there. There's track, too. And then you got a men's basketball game. So basically the goal is for Colorado State Athletics to go and invade the academy and come away with some W.
Yeah, it is. It's a really big string of games, though, too. Like you said, because a couple of four big games for this team leading up to even bigger games, right? You want to set yourself up so that the Wyoming game, the San Diego State game, like those are going to be monster games. But like you pointed out, you got these in front of you. You got to take care of these games first to make those two even bigger.
Yeah, you got to look at it like a stair step. So, you know, you got to keep going up. And like we were talking about, these next six games, they're going to play them every 3 days. So you start with New Mexico, then you go to Air Force. You got a couple games at home. That leads you into, you know, your game, your border war, your first border war matchup with Wyoming on the road. And then you come back 3 days later and you get your chance to exact a little revenge on San Diego State on your home floor. By that time, the conference really should start to take some shape. And by that time, the hope is Colorado State will put itself on top of the pecking order and really continue to improve, because I think we've seen that over the last couple of games coming back from the break. Is, you know, they've gotten a little bit better. You're seeing the bench scoring becoming more involved. You know, it's not always that you've got to get somebody with double figures off the bench like you've seen with Jalen Lake and Isaiah Rivera the last couple of games. But you look at that list, and there's a bunch of 6, 8, 7, you know, point scorers in there. People are grabbing rebounds. You know, they're kind of stuffing the stat sheet without overloading one category.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, too, because, you know, when you saw against that San Diego State was the opposite. You had your stars doing their thing, but pretty much, as far as the points are concerned, nobody else really contributing that much to that. And that was a huge factor in that loss. So when you look at a San Jose State game, it's just nice to see everybody get involved. Confidence boosters, right? They can, you know, guys that maybe aren't used to scoring a lot of points on a nightly basis, take that, and they can certainly use that to their advantage come the next game.
Yeah, it's always great when for somebody like Isaiah Rivera, who gets, you know, 10 to 20 minutes a game, you come in and you score double figures for the first time this year. It's great to see Deshaun Thomas come back and have the game that he did, finally get back into double figures. I think he'd only scored like 4 points the last two games combined prior to that. So it's good to see him get some confidence. James Morris gets 8 points. You know, those are the things you want to see. You're going to expect what you always think you're going to out of Stevens and Roddy, though the interesting thing was, they weren't the guys that had to pace everything at San Jose State. It was just a very team effort on that part. But most nights, you know what you're going to get from them. It's what the others can add that makes it, and that will tell you just how much better this team can be.
We're talking to Mike Brohard from CSURams.com, and I mean, we're pumped about basketball. It's rocking and rolling. We did take a little sidestep last week as the coordinators and such for on the football side of things spoke to media members. Matt Mummy, Freddie Banks, Matt Mummy, he just seems like a dude, a fun. No, I don't want to use dude. I got to be careful there, Mike. He just seems like a fun guy that you just want to go hang out with. I mean, just judging by his Twitter alone, seems like that kind of guy. Obviously, you know, you're wondering what's all that going to look like on the football field, but so far, so good. I think fans were so desperate to just get some guys to open up about their vision of the program. And to me, just hearing it, talking to some people after the fact, it was very refreshing.
I think what you found and what I took away from it, and what I've taken away from all my meetings with them, you know, be it in the hallway or just running into them into a parking lot, these are very personal people that love to talk football. They love to be engaged about what they like to do and what they see. I'm really interested. I've talked to Matt. I'd like to sit down and talk to him for an in-depth story, really, on the air raid. I mean, he is the original air raid quarterback. He was running in high school for his dad when he came up with this thing. You know, it's very interesting. They love to talk football, and they love to talk about the influences that they've had over the years and how they see the game and how they look at players. You know, I thought it was interesting, you know, yeah, Freddie talking about, you know, how do you find corners? You want these big corners that can play press coverage, play man coverage. And where do you find them? Because nowhere in high school, you know, like you said, nowhere in high school. If he's a high school coach, he's not putting his best athlete at corner. He's giving them the ball. So where does he go find corners? He wants the best athlete. So he's going to find people that get the ball. You see running backs that fit that size mode, that have really good athletic skills that can be trained in corners. And it's interesting because I think a lot of people think, you know, coaches are just going out there looking at guys that play certain positions. But I remember back in the day, Gary Patterson with Fox West, they had a great run of defensive ends down at TCU. You know, starting when they were in the Mountain West and you know, when they continued on in the Big 12, it was like, where do you find these guys? So, I go out and look for running backs that were really big, that ran straight up, that could never play running back in college, but these guys could get big, and they were quick and athletic, and they were used to doing that. So it's really interesting to hear football coaches talk about what their process is. And in this group, you've got a group of guys, and I'm talking the whole group, love to talk football and what their process is. And I think the fans are going to find that really refreshing.
Well, and you know, before, of course, Freddie Banks came up and all that, to waiting to see what the situation was going to be for the defensive coordinator, certainly we'd been discussing offense, which made sense. I mean, Jay Norvell, like we joked about, wrote a book on wide receivers. Matt Mummy, as you talked about, his rich history of the air raid offense. So we were thinking, okay, this is going to be maybe Bobo-esque. You know, maybe it's going to be crazy, high-scoring, high-flying offense, and hopefully the defense can figure it out. But what do you think, Mike? Do you look at this just based on initial conversations so far and listening to the coordinators, listening to Jay Norvell? Do you think this is going to be more of a kind of a balanced, like obviously a high-flying offense, but there's also equal attention to the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I think it's going to be balanced because you have to win on both sides of the ball. And I think that's been proven throughout the years. The teams that win the Mountain West, they're generally really good on offense, but they play defense. At Fresno State, San Diego State, Boise State, Utah State, they can play defense. They can stop people when you needed to. You can't always. This isn't the old days of the WAC where you're going to have to win a game 49-47. You can't do that. I think you're going to see it. But and I know it came across because of the announcement of the hires. We got our offensive guys put together. Okay, now we'll look at the defensive side. No. He knew he wanted Freddie Banks, but Freddie Banks was obviously really busy with the FCS playoffs. And they were talking the whole time. And, you know, Freddie alluded to it. I mean, he's known for a month that he's a defensive coordinator. You know, he's bringing Anna Flop from, you know, his staff. And found Buda Williams, who's somebody who knows what they're bringing in. And if anybody paid attention, if you're watching the FCS stuff, what you saw was two defenses playing against each other in Montana State and North Carolina State that are out of the same playbook. So North Coast State obviously played really well that game. They've been doing it for a long time. But that's the type of defense that they're looking at to build. They know they're not ignoring it. But immediately, I think you needed more offensive turnover, like Jay talked about. You needed to rebuild that offensive line for the type of offense you know. You needed to rebuild the wide receiver room in the quarterback room for the type of offense that you're going to run. And naturally, I think a lot of players that, you know, you've seen the influx of Nevada players coming over. Most of them are on the offensive side because that's the system they wanted to play in. Those are the coaches they wanted to play for. And that's why it seems so very offensive right off the front. But I think you'll see some more defense coming in the backside.
Yeah, and I'll be excited about that. I love the cornerback talk. I mean, that's my favorite aspect of all defense. I mean, in the NFL, college, if you can have stud corners, I feel like you can get very creative and do a lot that gives your middle part of the field freedom, that gives your edge rushers freedom. So I'm excited to see what they do as far as, you know, the rest of their scholarships offered and the future, too. I know this is the first year. This is year one here. But just to kind of see how they build. One guy in particular, Mike, before we let you go, what do you see? What's the future look like for Donte Wright? How do you see him fitting into this new style of offense?
Perfectly. I mean, you look at what they've done on offense at Nevada, and their slot receiver has been a very big part of it. And honestly, let's be honest, that's what Donte Wright is. He's been needed to run and line up on the outside to be the vertical threat because he's a guy that could do it. So in the offensive scheme that Agazio ran, he wasn't a perfect fit. I think he's a really good fit. They're a very focused slot receiver for this team, and they have spoken highly of him. They know what he can do. They know he's a playmaker. I mean, you look at it, he was a freshman, you know, All-American. The guy's got some skills. He's also, I think fans also have to worry. He's been a bit dinged up. He missed basically half the season last year, and definitely half the season when he wasn't full strength. So I think he could be rejuvenated in this style of life.
Yeah, I'll be excited for that, too. That's just that's one of those guys. I mean, we saw those, I don't even think it's fair to say glimpses. We saw him do it at a consistently high level under Coach Bobo, and then obviously last year, completely different stuff, or the last 2 years, I should say. So I'm really excited for him, excited for CSU to see what that looks like. But as you mentioned, you know, there is optimism as far as spreading it out on both sides to figure out how to be a balanced team, both offensively and defensively. Mike, my friend, what are you working on? I know you got a very busy week. Just taking a look at the schedule, both basketball teams in action tomorrow night, and then as you said, Saturday is going to be a big day too.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on this week. Tennis is starting to get; they're going to play. They're going to hit the road. They start their dual season. You've got indoor track going on. They've already started off really well at the Potts Invitational. So, yeah, and me obviously because we're so busy, I'm leaving. So,
that's the best thing,
Maine,
right?
I'm going to go to Maine. I'm going to go watch my daughter swim collegiately for the first time, so I'm really looking forward to that. But I'll be keeping track of my team on the road and doing recaps from a hotel room when I need to.
Hey, good for you, man. Hey, from us, good luck to you. Good luck to your daughter. That's fantastic. That's going to be fun, man.
Yeah, it will be. I'm really looking forward to it.
All right, my friend. Well, be careful, enjoy, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, man. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com, with Rams Wire as well. Look at all that. All that stuff going on, and Mike's nice skip and dodge. He's going to Maine. His daughter is a collegiate swimmer, so very cool for Mr. Brohard. 32 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. When we come back, let's get we'll get to Zach Stevens. We're going to talk more Broncos. I want to see how these coaching interviews are going, or how he anticipates them going, if we can get a hold of him. But right now, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I want to thank Rev Chiropractic. I went in there yesterday for my weekly. I go to Rev Chiropractic on a weekly basis. I started doing that about a year ago. And man, the back pain, no more. I'm not uncomfortable. There was a change, you know, as my back was shifting, other things were starting to hurt. And, you know, I was told that was kind of normal. I started worrying, kept at it. Now it's like everything is straightening back up, man. And I've got a race coming up. I do a 5K with Sweetheart City Racing. I'm meeting up with them today. And, you know, last year running in it, I was hurting. You know, not obviously just being out of shape, I was hurting. But my back was hurting, too. I just felt discombobulated. I didn't feel natural as I'm running. But now that's changing.
thanks to Rev Chiropractic, Dr. Tyler Terry, Dr. Haley Harada. It's not crack, feel instant relief. That's not the process. It is, if you're hurting, if you've been hurting and you want to stop hurting, try Rev Chiropractic. That's the long-term effect. It will help. Trust me. That's where I've been going for a year now, and man, night and day difference. They're off of Highway 34 and 35th Avenue. There's a Home Depot in that shopping center. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. When we come, I'll tell you what, we'll tease what we're going to talk about coming up. Zach, if we can get a hold of him. The Broncos have been in this interview process now for, well, a little while. Getting the Green Bay side of it done last week. What does it all mean this week? I mean, you got Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore interviewing today. And according to Zach, 26 minutes ago, the Broncos have officially kicked off their interview process with Kellen Moore. So they're talking to him right now. What does that look like? I mean, is Kellen Moore ready to be? I mean, I talked about young guy up and coming. Are you hesitant now after seeing what we saw in the playoff game? The fact that the Cowboys perhaps underachieved? And I think that you'd be right to be hesitant. I mean, Dan Quinn or Kellen Moore, it's Dan Quinn night and day. I mean, hands down. No doubt about it. He seems to be the front runner, at least at this point, according to all of our guys, according to Zach Stevens. In fact, we're gonna break now. We'll see if we can catch up with him. I know he puts together his podcast, so he's been rolling on that, but maybe he'll have some time to squeeze us in. We'll give him a buzz. 39 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now, and it's an honor because I know Zach was extremely busy putting together an awesome Broncos podcast, DNVR Broncos. Zach, my friend, it's always great when we can get you on, man, and we really appreciate the time.
Oh, Brady, I love being on. It's an honor.
All right, so talk to us about this, man. The Broncos have kicked off their interviews. Obviously last week we're rolling. We're getting interview after interview. I don't know how you're possibly keeping up with all of it because there's so many names thrown out there. But let's put the focus right now on the Cowboys side of things. Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore. Broncos are interviewing Kellen Moore as we speak. Is that right?
Yes, that is right. Broncos interviewing Kellen Moore right now. And he's not a favorite to land the job. You know, his name's cooled off kind of in NFL circles these past couple of weeks. And with the Broncos, I like that they're interviewing him. Look, the complete opposite of Vic Fangio, an offensive mind, a young guy, barely any experience in the NFL, 33 years old. And you know what? He's done a darn good job with the Cowboys offense. In two of his 3 years leading the Cowboys offense, they've had the number one offense in terms of yards. They've had a top six offense two of those years in terms of points. He has been really good, but I don't think he gets this job with the Broncos because the number one thing George Payton's looking for is leadership. Kellen Moore, from what I've heard, he's done good things with the offense, but he has never really been the leader of even the offense, really, and especially of the entire team. So I just don't think he passes George Payton's most important goal there. But Dan Quinn, who they're talking to tonight, Brady, he's their first true dinner interview, and that kind of shows you how they view him. He is certainly the front runner to land this job. And the biggest thing is because of that leadership that we've talked about. He's the only person that the Broncos are interviewing that has head coaching experience, and he is a proven leader as a head coach. Look, he did not get fired from Atlanta because of lack of leadership. Everyone loves him on a personal level, on the way he handles an entire team, and that is just going to be something that I think George Payton falls in love with. Look, George Payton's already fallen in love with him. He has a connection with Dan Quinn in the past, and you know what they say, it's not about what you know, it's about who you know. And so that's another reason why I think Dan Quinn just fits the mold so well for George Payton. In terms of Broncos fans, I'm not quite sure Dan Quinn fits the mold for what a lot of Broncos fans are looking for. This is going to be the third straight defensive-minded head coach. But what I will say is he is not Vic Fangio 2.0, and the reason for that is when he looks at this team, he views himself as the entire team's leader. Vic Fangio, they hired Vic to be the defensive guy. They're going to hire Dan Quinn, if they hire Dan Quinn, I should say, to be the leader of this entire team.
It just sounds like it's going to be Dan Quinn, Zach. I mean, honestly, there's been a lot of names. You know, Nathaniel Hackett, I loved the stepbrothers thing. I loved it. you know, I was hopeful. Like, Byron Leftwich, did he even get an interview, Zach?
He did not, no. And there were a lot of candidates. Doug Peterson
right. Being
one, Byron Leftwich, Todd Bowles. I thought all of those guys would have been easy. At least give them one interview to see what they've got. And the Broncos didn't interview any of those guys.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, you can only interview so many. I mean, there's like 45 names on this list already. Okay, so it does seem like it's Dan Quinn, probably. What is the, as far as the guys on the list so far that they have talked to, that they still yet to talk to, when you look at it, Zach, what does that list look like in terms of odds that they're going to be our next coach? Who has the best odds?
Yeah, Dan Quinn, number one, and it's not even close. Number two, and I think he has quite a bit of separation from number three and four, is Nathaniel Hackett. They talked to him over the weekend and had a fantastic interview from everything that I've heard. He's a guy that just brings so much energy, so much passion for the game. He's a guy that can come in here, and the Broncos kind of needed a shot in the arm. Nathaniel Hackett's a guy that can do that and brings offensive skills, and not only as he worked with Aaron Rodgers and it really helped him become a back-to-back MVP candidate. That's not the most impressive thing. The most impressive thing he has on his resume is making a Blake Bortles-led offense go to the AFC Championship game and have the number one rushing offense in the NFL. That is very impressive for Nathaniel Hackett. And then after that, so another big drop-off from two to three, but then we're talking about guys like, I think, legitimate candidates are Gerard Mayo, who they interview tomorrow, and Kevin O'Connell, the Rams offensive coordinator, who they interview on Thursday. These are two guys, very young guys, both in their 30s. Gerard Mayo only has 3 years of coaching experience. These are the two guys that I'm hearing really have a chance to blow the Broncos out of the water in their interviews and then become a very serious contender. So those are the two names that I've been told to keep an eye on.
Interesting there. So kind of at least what we're thinking, Dan Quinn, Nathaniel Hackett, Gerard Mayo, Kevin O'Connell. Okay, those are the interesting ones there. But like you said, it's Dan Quinn and maybe everybody else. And if you even want to take a step further, it's Nathaniel Hackett and then maybe everybody else again. The process, certainly George Payton, he's doing his due diligence, isn't he? I mean, he is doing these thorough interviews and multiple interviews.
Yeah, I mean, 10 interviews
wow. Is
insane. So you can't say that he's not doing his due diligence, just like you said. A lot of other teams only do 3 or 4 interviews. And then so they wrap up with their final first round of interviews this Friday with Eric Bieniemy. And then I imagine they'll take the weekend off, regroup, and bring guys back in for second interviews next week. And that's when I imagine those guys will be brought into Denver. And then the very last one, I would expect the Broncos would try to not let leave the building, because I think Dan Quinn would love to be the Denver Broncos' next head coach, but he's got 3 or 4 more interviews to be a head coach other places too. So it's not just about those guys selling themselves to the Broncos. The Broncos, who do not have an owner right now, who do not have a starting quarterback right now, they're going to have to sell themselves to these candidates as well.
Yeah, no question. I mean, George Payton has a big job to do because it's kind of him now suddenly who's only been there for the year. And, you know, it's a tradition, sure, it's Broncos country and all that, but it's hard when George doesn't necessarily know who his bosses will be necessarily. So that does make it difficult. He's essentially selling himself and you know, the current roster, the city of Denver, the state of Colorado, and Broncos country.
Yeah, exactly. He is. And there are a lot of questions about, okay, well, why is this job more appealing than Jacksonville? Jacksonville, certainly there's questions and upper management and the ownership position, but there's no question at the quarterback position. And so what George Payton has to sell, along with candidates selling their plan for the quarterback, George Payton's got to say, this is my plan for the quarterback position, because a couple of things you look at, who's my general manager when you're a head coach and deciding which job's the best? How's the overall roster? How's my general manager? How's the ownership? And how's the quarterback situation? Broncos' overall roster, pretty darn good. The general manager, I'd say he's viewed, George Payton's viewed very favorably around the league. So those two things they pass. Ownership is a massive question mark. So you can't give them, you can't say they pass on that front. And then quarterback, they certainly don't pass right now. Now, they could sell a candidate, let's say Nathaniel Hackett, on saying, yeah, we don't have a guy right now, but we want you to be part of that process. We want you to pick out your quarterback and bring him in. And that can be nearly as enticing as saying, you know, we already have a good quarterback here.
And then, so then that brings us to the other big discussion. Obviously, the coach right now, we know that. That is first and foremost. The quarterback pool, Zach, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, it does seem like that dream is drifting with every playoff win, perhaps, that the Packers get or moving up in the rounds. Russell Wilson, I mean, we go back and forth. You hear his camp and the Seahawks camp one day say, no way, this is never happening. And then the next day it's like, well, he's entertaining his options. So I have no idea there. But outside of that, doesn't it feel like you would essentially be doing the Case Keenum 2.0, the Joe Flacco 2.0, with anybody else that's really realistic to whether that's trade, whether that's free agency?
No, that's what every Broncos fan said, Brady. But yeah, I mean, you are right. You're absolutely right. Those tier two guys we need to get familiar with. And if they go that route, Brady, I just hope it's a short-term solution.
Right.
And really a short-term solution with a long-term answer this year, meaning you trade for one of those guys, bring one of those guys in free agency while also drafting a quarterback. I'm okay with that if you draft a quarterback and also bring in one of those guys. But, man, if they're just going to bring in one of those guys, I'd way rather them go the quarterback route in the draft and just swing for the fences in the first round.
I mean, I'm at that point too, Zach. I mean, I know what we're hearing nationally is like the draft class and, you know, whatever. You've seen some good guys do some good things throughout the season, but it's nothing like the quarterback classes we've seen in the past. But I'm more of the mindset, go with what you don't know. And that's why I was kind of more of the mindset with Drew Lock. We knew less, I should say. But draft a quarterback rather than recycle one of these guys that, you know, we already know. They're not leading anybody to the Super Bowl at this stage. Derek Carr, as much as you might love or hate the guy, he's not leading teams to the Super Bowl.
Well, and not only do we know that about these guys, but we know about this type of process. The Broncos have done this, been there, done that time after time, year after year since 2015. And it's just like, enough is enough here. Let's say, and there's not a surprise why the Broncos have not hit on a quarterback. It's because they haven't invested in one. $18 million to Case Keenum is not an investment. A fourth round pick for Joe Flacco is not an investment. A second round pick on Drew Lock is not an investment. You got to use the first round pick. You got to be willing to trade two first round picks for Matthew Stafford. That's the investment. So you can't just keep gambling on these penny stocks hoping they pay off.
Yeah, no doubt, Zach. I agree with you 100%, as I typically find myself doing, my man. Always love having you on the show. I hope we can figure out ways to keep squeezing you in, even in the offseason, man, because there really is no offseason for the Broncos, especially with the ownership situation, the coach situation, and the quarterback situation so far up in the air.
Oh, we'll make it work, Brady, because I love being on.
I appreciate you as always, my friend. That's Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. If you don't follow him, you're missing out. I mean, he is just as good as it gets when it comes to Broncos insiders. Let me read a text here. I liked it. Dixon, Brady, is it just me or when it comes to the Broncos quarterback situation, it feels like unless you get Wilson or Rodgers, you're going to have another year of the same old questions. There isn't really anybody in the draft that's going to move the needle. Anything else you get in free agency just seems like another name to add to the list. And Drew is still hanging around like the run of the litter that nobody wants. And that might be the case. That might very well be the case, and I know not a lot of people are talking about it right now, but you at least heard it right here, that I think that maybe, just maybe, Drew Lock sits around long enough, hangs around while everything happens around this team, and when the dust settles, Vic Fangio's gone, George Payton's gone, Teddy Bridgewater's gone, and there's Drew Lock that's like, hey, I'm kind of all you got. Could that be a realistic future for the Broncos? That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.